Very quickly, just a devotional thought here. Numbers chapter 3. How are you doing tonight? Remember, if you want to contribute to the conference, you're more than welcome. You can pay for the entire thing, that's okay. In the book of Numbers, God is making a provision for people in relationship to their walk. Genesis is the book on election. 1 Thessalonians 1:4, you are chosen, called out. Exodus is a book on redemption. That's what Jesus Christ accomplished for us at the cross. Leviticus is the book of communion. God made a provision for us to have a relationship with Him. In the book of Numbers, it is a walk. A walk in relationship to this life, which is a wilderness on the earth. The only part of the tabernacle that did not have a covering was the floor. Everything else was covered, but the floor was not covered. And it represents the pilgrim, the walk that a pilgrim will have in this life, in this world. It was never covered, the tabernacle. And in the book of Deuteronomy, God is making a covenant in an unconditional manner in Deuteronomy 7. Verses 6 and 7, and He said, I have set My love upon you, Israel, not because you were many in number, but I set My love upon you because you were few in number. It is because I loved you. So, in the book of Numbers, I always like to study the Old Testament from a typological perspective, because I'm fascinated when the mind of God is revealed in types and shadows in the Old Testament, and it portrays what Christ would do when He would come. But these things were all hidden in the mind of God, but they were uniquely revealed to us in mystery form. So, Father, bless this portion here. We thank You for the message. Thank You for the worship, the songs, our participation in the body corporately. Touch us, heal us, deliver us, protect us, anoint us for what is to come in this week, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless Milan also today in a special way. Touch him. And the cake that everyone's about to eat after the service. Okay. I don't know if there's one. Maybe it will happen by faith. Now, just think about this. The pedigree was very essential to the nation of Israel. Therefore, Matthew 1 and Luke 3 speaks of genealogy. Genealogy had to be established if you were a Jew. So, their pedigree had to be established. In Numbers chapter 1 and 2, you basically see that people are numbered. In all, there were 603,550 that came out of Egypt. But in 2651 of the book of Numbers, very interesting statistic. 2651. These are those who were numbered of the sons of Israel. 601,730. There are those that came out but never went in, and those that were born along the way that went in. Interesting, isn't it? Thank God some people what? Went in. But I want to show you something here. Chapter 3 and 4 is the arrangements of the Levites around the tabernacle. The Kohathites, the Merarites, and the Gershonites. But this is the thing. This is what God is saying. Numbers chapter 3, verse 11. And again the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Now behold, I have taken the Levites from among the sons of Israel instead of every firstborn, the first issue of the womb, whom the sons of Israel, among the sons of Israel, so the Levites shall be Mine. God asked for the firstborn to be taken in the book of Numbers chapter 3 verse 12. For all the firstborn are Mine. On the day that I struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified to Myself all the firstborn in Israel, from man to beast, they shall be Mine. I am the Lord. So God decided, as He redeemed Israel out of Egypt, that the firstborn would be set apart of every family. The firstborn of men and cattle would be set apart And the unclean animal would have to be, in one sense, there would be a substitutionary thing that had to be given. So here we see man and beast. So the firstborn. Now God is saying, this is what I want you to do. Instead of giving me the firstborn, I want you to give me the Levites. You remember what the Levites did in the book of Exodus? 32, 33, 34, in those three chapters. They stood out because they were zealous for the things of God and they were eventually chosen. If you read Genesis 49, 50 and Deuteronomy 33, the last chapters, you will see what Levi did as a person. And if you and I were in God's stead, we are not, but and as Pastor Benny beautifully mentioned on grace, I don't think we would be looking to choose Levi as one of the candidates for the kind of role. So we see here, God said, I have taken the Levites from among the sons of Israel instead of the firstborn. Is that clear? Now you go, turn, you go and you look at verse 39. Now all the numbered men of the Levites whom Moses and Aaron numbered at the command of the Lord by their families, every male from a month old and upward were how many? Numbers 39. You have to follow here. A few moments and it's over. Numbers 39. There were 22,000. How many were there? So Numbers 3, 11, 12 and 13. The Levites were taken instead of the firstborn. Now the Levites are numbered. How many are they in verse 39 of Numbers 3? 22,000. Then the Lord said to Moses, number every firstborn male of the sons of Israel from a month old and upwards and make a list of their names. Imagine if you were on that assignment in the whole camp. You shall take the Levites, for me, I am the Lord, instead of all the instead of all the firstborn among the sons of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites, instead of all the firstborn among the cattle of the sons of Israel. So Moses numbered all the firstborn among the sons of Israel, just as the Lord had commanded him. And all the firstborn males, by the number of names, from a month old and upward, for their numbered men, were how much? 22,273, verse 43. Now, if you and I were a part of the 273, we would be seeking for political asylum, saying that we are refugees from Syria. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the Levites instead of the firstborn among the sons of Israel, verse 45, and the cattle of the Levites, and the Levites shall be mine, I am the Lord. Now, for the ransom of 273 of the firstborn of the sons of Israel, who are in excess beyond the Levites, get rid of them. Huh? 5 shekels apiece should be given, verse 48, as ransom money for those who are in excess among them to Aaron and his sons. So Moses took the ransom money from those who were in excess beyond the ransom by the Levites, from the firstborn of the sons of Israel. He took the money in terms of the shekel of the sanctuary. I want you to note this. Now, this is all, when you read it historically, it's like all numbers. But think about this. Instead of the firstborn, the Levite was chosen. The Levite was a representative tribe in Israel that was associated with national life and worship. They played a very distinct and important part in Israel in a representative authority because they were the priestly community. Pastor Shala is doing a series on Hebrews in Baltimore. So 22,000 were counted as firstborn, as Levites rather, but 22,273 were counted as Levites. Now, what happens to the 273? they had to bring in 5 shekels, 5 symbolic of grace. In the book of Exodus, in the 30th chapter, verses 11 to 16, every person in Israel had to bring a 1/2 shekel into the sanctuary as atonement money. As what? Atonement money. It had to be given to the service of the tabernacle. The rich could not bring anything more, and the poor could not bring anything less. Each one had to contribute equally. And that speaks of the fact that redemption is available to all solely on the ground of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the blood that he shed was all sufficient to bring, to put every person on the same ground. Therefore, you could not give anything more and you could not give anything less. The shekel represented the ransom price that was paid. Everyone had to bring. That means every one of us today in this room stands on an even ground in terms of our redemption in Christ. But this is interesting here. This is much deeper. And what is it? The 273 had to bring in 5 shekels in chapter 3 and give the ransom and the ransom of those who are in excess among them to Aaron and his sons. Now think about this. The Levitical priesthood was a type of which the priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ was the reality. Israel did not have the priesthood. They had a priesthood, but they had a type of the priesthood. The real priesthood is the priesthood that belongs to Jesus Christ, which belongs to another order. In Hebrews chapter 5, 6 and 7, if you see 5, 6, 5, 9, 6, 20, chapter 7, 2 times, thou art a priest forever according to the order of. Now think about this. Jesus Christ is the firstborn. In creation, he's the firstborn out of the dead. The word firstborn has to do with preeminence and priority. He was not created. His humanity was generated in time, but he is the eternal Son of God. So this is important here. These 273 who were what? Who were they? The firstborn ones found their acceptance through the 5 shekels of the sanctuary, which is the redemption money that should be brought in terms of the atonement money. But here it was for their redemption as not being counted as firstborn towards the Levites. But they are not being counted in terms of the Levites did not exclude them in that sense. For the price that was paid in terms of their acceptance, that is the 5 shekels, typified a much greater truth. And the much greater truth is they found their acceptance in the firstborn that would come at a future date. Isn't that amazing? Of whom that firstborn also had a priesthood. Here, the firstborn and the Levitical priesthood are two different things. The firstborn was substituted for the Levitical ministry. But in Christ, he is not only the firstborn, he belongs to another priesthood, which is not the Levitical priesthood. For the priesthood has come out of the fact that he is the firstborn. For that priesthood belongs to a Judean order, which does not belong to the Levitical order. And so in the 273 that were there, that were not counted from among the Levites, of whom redemption money was paid in typology, are those that found their acceptance in the redemption that is in Christ, who not only is the firstborn of God, but he is also a priest designated by the Father according to another order. Can you imagine? Now these firstborns who did not find their fulfillment in the Levitical order belonged to an entire different category of priests in fulfillment. Even though that may have not been known to them at that time, now we look back and we see they belonged, like us, you can say, as Gentiles, because of the atonement of Christ, we don't have any earthly priesthood that we are a part of. We belong to a priesthood that is what? Of a heavenly clan. That is why in 1 Peter 2, 5-9, you belong to a different order. Correct? Which also says what? That the nature of the priesthood in the Levitical sense was transitory and was passing away in relationship to the priesthood that was to come in Christ. I love that analogy. Now just imagine, if there was no provision for the 273, where would they go? You have entrance exam for engineering, you have entrance exam for CAT, MAT. But I don't see any entrance exam for becoming a nun or becoming a priest or becoming a sadhu. You see any? I don't know, I have yet to see. Because they think that all the Balta people, they don't get there, they go here. Yeah, the understanding is, if you are a Buddhu Ram and if you don't know anything, then go to seminary. So these 273 people decided, that's what we'll do. Now, think about it. God took into account the 273 that didn't find their provision in the Levitical, the 273 firstborn that had no provision in the Levitical order, because the Levitical order has no provision for the 273, belongs to the Old Covenant. In the Old Covenant, there is no provision for sins being blotted out. There is only provision for sins being covered. In the New Covenant, there is an absolute provision for sins being blotted out. Now, I'll close. The cross, one of the expressions of it, is a vindication against the lie of the devil. What is it? The cross is a vindication against the lie of the devil. What did the devil say? If you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will not die. Correct? Was that true what he said? No. So death, even though they died spiritually, therefore the cross was a vindication of that lie. Because if it was not so, there would never be that revelation. In Genesis 3:15. As Pastor Benny said, the poison. There would never be the revelation. So the cross is just not giving us salvation. And yes, it is vindicating the justice of God. From God's viewpoint, vindicating the justice of God. From our viewpoint, it is salvation to the sinner. From the viewpoint of the enemy, it is a vindication of the lie. Every lie that comes from the enemy will always be vindicated through Calvary. You and I cannot have any other way by which the lie can be vindicated. It is only vindicated by the truth of God's word. You understand that? And God's word does not change. It abided forever. Isaiah chapter 40, very clearly. Heaven and earth shall pass away. The leaves fade, the grass fades, the flowers wither, but my word will. So here we have something tremendously beautiful. There can be nothing clearer than what God said. So we say God said it, number one. He settled it. And three, we believe it. So the 273 of them that did not find a provision in the Levitical order in terms of being numbered, but nevertheless found it through the atonement, through the five shekels of the sanctuary, typifying the firstborn of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, who not only was the atonement, but also in him there was a priesthood. And therefore for the 273 in type to find their identity in something that is not transitory or passing away, but in something that is eternal, is very unique. Israel was supposed to be a representative nation in Exodus 19 5 and 6, they failed to be that witness. So God had to choose a tribe within that nation. And even many times, that tribe within that nation did not fulfill all its functions in that capacity. They were given 48 cities in Israel, but they did not do it in that sense. And so we begin to see the provision of the priesthood, but the limitlessness, the limitations and the inadequacy of it. What is it? We see the provision of the priesthood, but the limitations and the inadequacy. In Christ, we do not find such limitations and inadequacies. We find only total and absolute provision. And that is why the priesthood of Christ to us is one of the most fundamental aspects of our faith in relationship to Christ's present session in heaven. So sometimes you and I can feel like a part of the 270. But we have our five shekels with us. That says those five shekels tell us a deep lesson. They tell us a deep lesson. There are 5,000 people sitting across that have followed Jesus Christ. But there's a guy who has five loaves and two fish. Those five loaves and two fish tell a great story. I don't know about the 22,000, what story they have to tell, what is their story. But the 273 have a story to tell. Amen? Father, we thank you for this evening. And once again, we are awed by your word, the beauty of it, the depth of it, the mystery of it, the power of it in our lives. We pray that you minister to us in our fellowship in the body of Christ. We pray for this week, quieten our hearts in faith. We believe, Pastor Mati, we pray for his visa, Lord, technicalities of it, and every aspect of this time, those men that are going to be visiting here for the week, make it sweet. I've never ever seen people, I've never found these men to be not edifying, but they have been edifying, challenging. Maybe he'll challenge us to the Arab world. Vijay has already gone to Argentina. Maybe someone will go to the Middle East. We don't know. Yes, Father, we pray. Bless him, his stay, his health. All those will be here that will be associated in the conference, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. 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 Let's